No, how many people are pissing in it? That's the question.
What the hell? Why?
Yeah. How have you ever heard of a pond being destroyed by urine before?
No. Destroyed by urine. The Walden Pond.
Yeah.
Experience. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Go to Quad. I'm going to circle back on that. I want to kick off with a piece of shark news for
shark
our
news.
Barnyard animals
right.
segment. So barnyard animals is when we talk about animals in the barnyard or animals out of the barnyard.
Yeah. And the shark is out.
Yeah, the shark is out. You know, frequently we give you shark news, bear news, and also wolf news.
Right.
Right. These are bees are some of our top hits.
Right.
So this is, and we reported on this a year ago. So around this time every year, there's the World Surf League event in Australia. And aside from all the surfers and the surf enthusiasts, people who come to watch the show that's taking place, guess who else also shows up?
Who?
Sharks.
Yeah.
Yes, because it for them, it's kind of like...
A smorgasbord.
It's like a conveyor belt of food, right? It's fun. It's interesting. It's going by.
There's a lot of splashing.
There's a lot of splashing. There's cheering. They know where it's going to be.
I wonder if the sharks go swim close to the beach so they can see all the legs.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, but like, oh, just like we go to the aquarium to
see
all the fish
to see
by.
What everything's going by, and then they reach in.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like when we're going to the fish market, actually.
Yeah.
And we pick out the lobster that we want from the tank.
Right.
That's kind of what these guys are doing. So apparently, some sharks showed up and started to put the chomp on people, and they had to cancel the surf competition.
Ooh,
it says, World Surf League canceled in final days of the Margaret River Pro event in Western Australia as a result of two shark attacks. So this is the final days. By this time, the sharks are probably like, yo, this has been going on for like 3 or 4 days. We better tell people about this. This
right.
is probably going to shut down at any minute now. We'll have done nothing about this. Go get the guys.
Yeah.
Put the word out. So luckily, the two surfers who were chomped survived. Right.
Oh, well,
so
that's good.
Yeah, they survived. So the one was a 37-year-old surfer treated for a serious leg injury. The other unidentified surfer, just surfer,
still
rando
nobody
surfer.
Knows who he
nobody
is.
Knows. He's the masked surfer.
Okay.
Suffered a minor bite on his thigh.
Ouch.
Okay, so that means that his entire leg, I'm thinking, was in the shark's mouth up to the thigh, and the shark just gave him a quick nibble.
Unless it came from the side.
On the outside of the thigh? They just, like, nipped him?
Yeah. Oh, man, but I like yours.
I like mine better.
Yeah.
Okay. According to the BBC, the guy went, Travaglini, that's the identified surfer, not the masked surfer, underwent surgery after being mauled by a white pointer shark. He survived after body surfing back to the shore with the assistance of other surfers.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on his board. He lost control of his board, access to his board. And then he just had to body surf in. So he just had to have the waves carry him in. And then I guess other surfers came around, which I think is great. Because I probably would have fucking hightailed it out of there and not even been thinking about him.
Yeah.
Okay. Not even thinking about him. World Surf League said that there were actively aggressive sharks still in the area. Because they're thinking these guys are going to come back in.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't know that everybody's running.
Yeah, they don't know. So they put the highest premium on safety. This cannot be just talk. It cannot be compromised. But a Brazilian surfer wrote on social media after the attacks, "I do not feel safe training and competing in this kind of place. Anytime, anything can happen to one of us." And I'm guessing by this place, you mean the ocean? But like, yeah, the ocean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In the ocean where the sharks live.
That's their house.
Yeah. I feel like if you're just out there doing your thing, it's probably not a big deal. But this is kind of like sprinkling fish food into the water and expecting no fish to come. At least if they hadn't canceled it, would people have continued to try to surf? Like, who needs a trophy that bad? I bet you those attacks were like two sharks were like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm just going to give it a quick nibble. Guys, it's good.
It's all right.
And
everybody.
Then everyone's gone. Right. So, yes, World Surf League.
Well, the sharks will get a little smarter and then just get everybody right on the onset, I think.
Later on. Oh, another shark news. So I think we reported that Jason Statham was going to be in a movie called Meg. Mm-hmm. It's actually called The Meg. It's about a megalodon. And the trailer is out. And Jason Statham is doing it. Looking good in his old age. Fighting sharks. And this shark is massive. So I'm excited to see what happens. I hope there are a lot of one-liners in it for Jason Statham. And I hope that Jason Statham's character, maybe like his wife or his entire family, was eaten by a shark. And he's got like a personal vendetta against these sharks.
I know. That would be...
This is coming out in the summer.
I want to see him cry.
Yes. A single tear. A single salty tear. I want to see him face off with a shark. Like, I want them to have like an eye-to-eye moment where they kind of look at each other from the side.
And they're like, all right, it's on.
It's on.
Right. Well, this week we celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
We.
It's like, in the U.S. it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, it shares a lot of similarities to St. Patrick's Day in the mainstream marketing fiasco that it is.
And as much as no one remembers what it's really supposed to be about, and everyone gets loaded.
Everyone gets loaded, they eat tacos and drink margaritas.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you really supposed to, what is it for? It's people are like, it's Mexico's Independence Day.
No, it's a Battle of Puebla.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they fought back the French.
That's right.
Who doesn't know that?
Yeah. So, a lot of people don't know that. And
listeners
then they don't know what to eat.
Okay. So how can we properly celebrate the Battle of Puebla where we beat the French back?
So,
we mean North Americans.
If you really want to have traditional Mexican fare worthy of this holiday, you should not just have a taco with iceberg lettuce and cheddar cheese. Here are three other dishes that you should have instead that are traditional Mexican fare.
Okay. From Pueblo.
Yes. Mole poblano.
Ooh, those are good.
That's great. So the mole comes from the Spanish word moler, which means to grind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sauce made from ground up ingredients and comes in all colors and consistencies.
It's so good.
But the dark, thick one is the one that most
that you
people
want.
Know.
That's what you're looking for.
Yes. The second meal you can have is a chalupa.
Okay.
I know, made famous by Taco Bell.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's really an iconic street food.
Okay. I like the word chalupa. It sounds fun.
Yeah. It has a resemblance to the tostada. Okay. And it's a fried thick tortilla topped with salsa, shredded meat, and chopped onions.
Nice.
I'm just salivated.
Yes. Over chalupas. Hey, what's the Taco Bell version?
I don't know. I don't even go near Taco
Bell. I don't either.
Yeah.
It sounds like something they wouldn't be able to make. But okay. And what's the third one?
You won't believe this.
Is it butter?
But
or is
it's
it not
actually
butter?
I didn't print it.
Are you kidding? Boo! Are you kidding me?
I didn't print it.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone. So just try the chalupas or the mole. God.
Oh, so I could not believe this. This is absolutely shocking. We used to do every once in a while we do a segment on like extreme sports. And I don't think of skiing as necessarily an extreme sport.
I don't think of it either.
But it got extreme.
Ow.
So this is at Copper Mountain Resort. They have an annual...
That?
I don't know. Copper Mountain. It's on Copper Mountain. Copper Mountain Resort's annual Slope Soakers Pond Skimming event. Right? So that's what they do. They do it every year. And I think it's Red Bull is one of the sponsors.
Great.
They somehow find their way. If there's danger afoot, Red Bull is somehow there. Right? So basically what happens is there's a guy called Hayden Wright. He's age 26. Although I saw the photo and it's like, really, sir?
You're not
26. Yeah. You're 40 if you're a day. So apparently he was supposed to be doing this big ski jump, like on one of the massive ski jumps. So he comes down the ski jump and then instead of lifting off on a straightway, he flew directly into the crowd and landed on some poor woman and broke her collarbone and lightly injured several other people. So there's actually, because this was an event where there are a lot of journalists and people taking pictures, you can see him. He's coming down the slope, everything looks cool, and then all of a sudden his skis just go up in the air and he does a loop and you see him fly into the people who are watching from
awful.
The side.
Oh my God.
And I never thought that that would be a dangerous spectator activity, is watching a ski jump.
Yeah.
I've never skied, but I'm assuming that it's not that difficult to go in a straight direction, especially if you're a professional. coming down this mountain. So it says here, the crash was a grim shock in the midst of an event known for its zaniness.
Oh.
Featuring skiers and riders in absurd costumes trying to skim across pond water, often successfully.
Ugh.
So I guess they're coming down the slope, and then the idea is that they're going to get onto a pond and, like, skim across.
All right. Well, like water skiing.
Yeah,
without a boat.
This guy flew into the crowd. There's excitement everywhere, people going down their runs in their underwears, you know, but you don't expect someone to go flying into the air and land on people. So then they show that the guy apparently was drinking. And there are pictures of him with what looks like a Bloody Mary.
Oh, my God.
Before he got
to
the slope. So it says,
I hope he gets sued.
Yes. He should get. He is getting sued.
Good.
They're reckless endangerment and I think also assault.
Yeah.
They're saying. So they have a picture of him with a Bloody Mary, and he said he was going to jump the crowd. And then another woman also overheard it as well and thought, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? So we looked at each other and said, there's no way he's actually going to do that kind of thing, right? After the encounter, Logan went to the sidelines to join the crowd, which was about a half a dozen people deep. I love that that term has worked its way into journalism.
Yeah.
It was half a dozen people deep up in there. Deep.
I know.
In the skiing crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the term, but it's like, okay, fine.
Well, you think that, I mean, I've heard that term my whole life.
I know, it just, for me, it just connotes on as, like, more fun than, like, people watching skiing.
Okay.
Not that they can't be deep. So someone heard him say, I'm going to jump the crowd. And they were like, whatever. And then they went and stood in the crowd. I would have been like, you're going to jump the crowd?
I'm going to
stay right here.
Yeah.
Behind you. Behind where you are now. In a statement, Copper Mountain said the resort staff took statements from multiple participants. So now you have these, like, these kids who work at a ski resort going out Columbo.
Oh, my God.
And getting, like, the crowd, like, did you hear anything? Did you see anything?
Oh.
From people in the crowd. They took statements, and the incident was, they took statements from participants and spectators after the incident, and they were cooperating with the sheriff's office's investigation. Why isn't the sheriff taking the statements?
Mm-hmm. I know,
like,
right?
It's just a guy who's like, shut down the icy stand. Come out here. Do you have a pad and a pencil? Get to it.
Oh, my God.
Start shaking these people down. Get names, numbers, information, what they saw, what they know.
Like, get to work.
I can just imagine someone be like, where were you at 4:30 this afternoon?
I'd be like, you want a kick in the chops?
Yes. Right here. They'll write that down. This one's suspicious. Katie Kazmir offered me a kick in the chops. There's something here. So there's also a picture of ski patrollers. So the accident happens, and then ski patrol shows up, like, shoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They must have been awesome, too.
Yes. So they're there in their outfits. They started treating people, but no one called 911 for some reason.
Because they're like, we got this.
We got
this.
We're
on the mountain.
Yeah. We do this all the time.
Yeah.
We do this all the time.
Well, they do. Honestly, they have emergency ski patrol people that are trained to give medical treatment on the mountain and then take them down the mountain, then to the ambulance.
This was at the bottom.
Oh.
This was at the bottom of the mountain where they don't expect to be. They probably didn't expect they would have to do anything during this, like, ski jump thing.
You know what? Little known fact. I am trained in mountain rescue.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So what would you do if I flew into the crowd drunk?
Well, I have the medical training, supposedly,
okay.
to treat you. Any kind of injury.
This supposedly makes me think. I'd be like, just keep skating. I'm good. Just keep going. It says, Fitzsimmons said so when deputies arrived, so an hour and a half later, the sheriff shows up on the mountain. I don't know where he was. And they found the guy at ski patrol. They had witnesses. Then they cited Wright for misdemeanor assault because they didn't know that someone had been seriously injured. And I think it gets upgraded to, like, straight up assault.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Fitzsimmons said the deputies were re-interviewing victims and witnesses in light of new information. So this is like a big investigation on this mountain. And Wright is fully cooperating with the investigation. We feel confident that the charge should be increased to a felony.
Wow.
So we'll submit a report to our district attorney's office and ask for their support. This is, like, a really odd, generally, I feel like cops don't talk about things this way, but this is like a local paper.
Yeah.
Right? This is the kind of stuff I think should happen, like, in the police station.
This is what happens at Copper Mountain.
On Copper Mountain.
Yeah.
We understand.
Wherever that is.
Wherever Copper Mountain is. So it's bizarre. She said, if you look at the weight of the skis and their razor sharp edges, they can be like a weapon. So now they're charging this guy with felony assault with a sharp implement, right? The woman with the broken collarbone got multiple x-rays and MRIs, her boyfriend said in an email. But he did not respond to a follow-up message. He's like, leave us alone. Like, what's to say? She broke her collarbone. Like, stop texting me. In addition to criminal penalties, Wright could also face civil damages for their victims. So the people who, the woman with the broken collarbone, and then the other people who were, you know, slightly damaged as well. I think that's so creepy. It says they have witnesses saying he was drinking a Bloody Mary before his run, but no one was saying he was drinking a pitcher or anything. So he was, you know what, buzz skiing is still drunk skiing.
People. Yeah, it sure is.
So bizarre.
It is.
I can't imagine, like, going to... So the images, if you Google this, you can see it. There's it looks like a cartoon, like a flip book. Because there are people standing there having a good time. And then you see the guy going up in the air. And then everyone, you see everyone looking like, ah, and then people are covering themselves. And then crash.
The end.
So bizarre. I'd be so mad.
That idiot. I'm just so sick of people who do things like
this. Yes. It's dangerous. I mean, come on. I don't know. All right. So what do you have?
They got the four R's.
To all that West 40th Street. Hashtag Funk Life NYC.
So another thing that's happening this week is, hey, hold on to your hats. Pentecost.
Oh.
It's also called Whitsun.
Raise the roof.
I was like, what the hell is Whitsun?
I've never understood what Whitsun was. I've seen the word.
Yeah. So,
in an ecclesiastical setting, I'm sure.
I was like, what is this? And the first Pentecost marked the beginning of the Christian church as an official, meaningful movement.
Okay.
So, I didn't know that. Yeah, so that's what Whitsun or Pentecost is. There is a festival, usually, and it commemorates the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
To
I like
the
announcement voice. Next up. Sorry.
So apparently.
In this corner, weighing in at nothing, floating.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Coming in.
All
right. So the Bible account describes how the apostles who were gathered to celebrate the Jewish Harvest Festival of Shavuot began to talk in foreign tongues.
Okay.
Leading the mass onlookers to assume that they were drunk.
Really?
However, St. Peter explained that the disciples were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
They were speaking in tongues.
The first Christian sermon. So they show up at a Jewish thing and start speaking in tongues. And we're like, no, we're not drunk. We're just Catholic.
But they said a foreign language.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
So they show up to a Jewish thing where everyone's...
In foreign tongues.
Everyone's speaking Hebrew. These guys are coming in with Italian.
Yeah. So it prompted
Tagalog.
So you hear this, and it prompted a conversion of a baptism of about 3,000 people. Right.
Really?
So that's the story.
That's a
load of crap.
You know what? I'm going to have to ask my Jewish friends, because I know about Shavuot. I want to see what their side of it is. It's like, look, we were having our thing.
Yeah.
Like, then these guys show up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So
I don't know that story.
Pentecost comes from the Greek word pentecostos.
Five P's.
Meaning 50.
Okay.
And it celebrated the seventh Sunday after Easter, marking 50 days since the final Sabbath of Passover.
Wow.
So it falls on a different day every year, and it's also called Whitsun, or what, because it's White Sunday.
What did you didn't know about this?
No, I've heard of it, but we didn't really deal with it.
Okay. So because, like, the Easter is the big one, and then it's just kind of like nothing happens again until Christmas, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of is glossed over because there's no...
Yeah, I've never heard of this one.
Hooray. You know, there's the church story.
What do you wear for Pentecost?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
Like, how is it celebrated?
Yeah.
Usually there's nowadays there's just bank holidays. They say it's a popular day for baptisms. And some churches hold a white walk. Sounds
good. Huh? It's a popular day for baptisms. It's just knocking them out. One after the other.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to use a hose.
And then there's other folk traditions such as cheese rolling and Morris dancing.
Oh, Morris clog dancing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that's kind of the stuff that happens.
That's interesting. I didn't know. I always saw Whit Sunday, and I was like, I don't know what this is.
I was
What's
like,
a white
I
walk?
I don't know. And I don't want to know.
That doesn't sound very much fun. So this is just totally unrelated. There's a thing out there called a company called Crate Joy. You know about this? For subscription boxes. So subscription boxes are huge.
They're just all over the place now.
So this is what has happened. Like, I graduated from graduate school again at the end of last year. But, like, before that, I was just in school in a fog. And all these things happen. And one of these things that happened is subscription boxes. Mm-hmm. So they're huge. You sign up for them. You get one a month. You pay $20, blah, 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 whatever. I knew about the ones that are for, like, clothing.
Yeah.
And health and beauty stuff. Mm-hmm. There's also food ones for, like, you know, Epicurean delights and that kind
snacks,
of thing.
Snacks, yeah, whatever. Snacks,
but
yeah.
This was one. So I go on Crate Joy. I'm like, what would I get? Skulls, apparently. What? So there's a skull box out there. And I love skulls. So I was like, let's see what comes in the skull box. It's $24.99 a month. And it got the worst reviews of anything I've ever seen before. And I usually don't read reviews of things, but I have to read this. So these are people who were expecting to get an awesome box of skulls every month that totaled $24.99.
Are you kidding?
Here is it. Not worth the price. That's the first. Decided to try out the box despite poor reviews. Should not have wasted the money. The skull that I received was a squirrel skull. That's not worth even half the price of the box, as I found elsewhere. And then I had two small teeth were in the box as well. Nothing in the box added up to $25 of the cost of the box. I will not be continuing my subscription.
Are you kidding? Who wants skulls? What do they use them for?
Some people are science teachers.
Okay.
There are some people who identify themselves as artists. Then there's some people who just like a skull. I guess kind of like in a Victorian, like you put it under glass or something like that.
All right. You need one every month coming in?
2 stars. Here's the next reveal. Right. I prepared for 3 months in the hopes to add some cool skulls to my collection. I started with March's box. Turkey skull was pretty cool. It seemed all right for the price. But April, they should have at least sent 2 if it's going to be that tiny. A squirrel skull is really cool. But $25 for something that is as big as my toe that I could find for $6 everywhere else doesn't seem right. I hope next month is better.
Are you kidding?
Here's another one.
Why don't they just give 3 squirrel skulls?
2 stars. Received my 3rd box with a $4 skull and 2 teeth. Definitely not worth the money. 1 star. Do not order. Tried to order this as a gift to be sent to a friend. They put gifts in quotes for some reason. Like, you know, a gift. Never sent. Was billed twice. Don't fall for this. All right. 5 stars. Okay. Someone who loves it. I've received 3 bone boxes. That's what they're calling them. They're skull boxes. But this person actually came up with a better name.
It's bone box.
And I love them all. I'm an anatomy professor, and I really enjoy the selection of small animals I have received. This is someone who doesn't know the skull market.
No.
I know people have been complaining about the turkey skull. The one I received was in excellent condition and almost as big as my hand, and I was very happy with it. I also received 2 alligator teeth in the same box. I share the boxes with my kids because they're great educational tools. The other boxes contained striped skunk skull and a muskrat. Both excellent.
I can't. I just have to address the term bone box.
Yes.
Because I think that a lot of people would be ordering a bone box for a different
reason. Oh, yeah, for another reason. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. 1 star, sadly underwhelming. This is from Ashley. And most of these are women, the reviews, by the way.
Really? I
thought that was interesting. This was such a disappointment. I should have paid closer attention. I was looking forward to this box only to discover I paid $25 for something I could literally, not a misuse of the word, literally purchase for $10, not worth the cost. You know,
I just don't know. I didn't realize there was such a market for skulls and bones.
I was under the impression I received 2 to 3 items. All I got was 1 skull. The skull is a turkey, and it's awesome, but not worth the price.
Where are they getting all these skulls from? And like, how can you have a warehouse?
Pepperidge Farms. I have no idea.
I don't know.
So I just love this. I love reviews, but I love these especially.
Pepperidge Farm for skulls.
I don't know. They have a lot of turkeys, right? I have no, you know. For 25, this person gives 5 stars. So they must have changed something, right? Because the more recent user, the better. For $25 a month, these boxes are so worth it. The cheapest animal skull you can get on their site is $25. So this person is making a mistake of looking at the actual site and seeing what they're pricing things at. Of course, those prices are terrible because we just found out here that other people could get a skull online for $6. I crawled through the reviews. Apparently, there's a lot of places on eBay and Amazon to get a good skull at a good price. So the skull box is a thumbs down from these people. Yeah.
But I also think Pepperidge Farm sells cookies and cakes.
Oh, no. What am I thinking?
I don't know.
Not Pepperidge Farm.
It's another farm.
Who makes all the turkeys? Purdue.
Purdue. That's what you're thinking.
Pepperidge Farm. Like, they do cookies, but then they also do skulls. And they do them cheap. Their muskrat is like $4. The turkey skull is massive. It's the size of my foot.
And it's $3.
It's $3. And they throw in a free skull.
Yeah.
Free knuckle bone with every order. Skull box. And you're disappointing people.
Right.
It's such a specific market. You have to know.
You know, your skull, the skull game. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your skull game was weak, son. Mad weak. They're effrontery.
Like, I just want to know, what niche market can I capitalize on?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, what kind of subscription box could we put together?
Yeah.
You know?
What could we put together that people would buy?
I have no idea.
All right, we're going to really think about this.
What's going to be our crate joy? Like, what are we going to put on there? There were so many weird things. Do you think, so you say, what kind of people order these skulls? Me, if I hadn't read the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we I was like, this
all
seems
we need
cool.
is a little warehouse and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we could ship things.
Yep.
Easily.
All right. So, okay. What do you have?
This week is also, we celebrate Armed Forces Day.
Okay. How do we do that?
It's celebrated each year on the third Saturday in March.
Okay.
And every year there's a theme. This year it's Teamed for Defense.
How is it different from Veterans Day?
I don't know. I mean,
I feel like I shouldn't have asked.
It's actually, it's celebrated. It's a holiday observed in some areas of the U.S. to honor all branches of the armed service. That's
okay.
What it is. And it actually, all countries in the world have a version of Armed Forces Day where
okay.
they celebrate their military.
Except for Costa Rica that has no military.
Yeah.
They have a free day.
They do. It's celebrated with military exercises on land and sea and air to honor members of the U.S. military and show off the state-of-the-art equipment to the civilians.
So they have to work on this day is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Get these guys and ladies a day off.
Yeah.
They got to come out there and parade around, literally parade around.
Yeah. This started in 1947. Harry S. Truman signed the National Security Act into law and established this holiday.
So it's new.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever celebrating this to you.
I don't, yeah, no.
I think it's one of those things that I see on the calendar and I'm like, oh, is that for Canada?
Yeah.
Right? like Boxing Day?
Yeah, so it was just like, and so in 1950, it was like really the first big, huge, like national celebration.
Mm-hmm. Well, this happened, I mean, people were still excited after the war.
Right.
Because back in those days, a war would end.
Yeah, and it had a purpose.
Yeah, it had a purpose and it would end.
Yeah.
It didn't just go on and on and on.
Yeah, so there were B-36 bombers flew over the capitals of every state, 10,000
mm-hmm.
troops and veterans march in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a 36,000 participant parade in New York, and then there were air shows and parades and receptions in other places, too, is what happened. But some facts about Armed Forces Day.
Okay.
The last time the United States really did actually declare war
mm-hmm.
was in 1942.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What about the Gulf War?
It wasn't declared. It just kind of...
They just kicked...
Did it.
Started
you know,
it?
Like TV shows don't have opening credits anymore?
Oh, it's a cold open.
Yeah.
I got it.
And the U.S. There's another fact. The U.S. military uses a nearly silent type of Velcro, which reduces the ripping noise.
Can we get that, please?
By over 95%.
Can they really kick that down to us? That's a good thing.
I know.
I hated Velcro as a kid because I was like, it's just too...
Oh, it's
just too loud. I need to reposition this non-branded shoe in my class. And now I can't. Or my Trapper Keeper.
Yeah.
Lord,
I need to get into it.
And now I can't. Because Mrs. Swenson is looking right at me.
Yep.
I'm going to try to do it slowly. It's worse. Now it's just like... That's my Trapper Keeper noise. Thank you. I do Foley artistry on the side.
Yeah, you're good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the heir apparent to that black guy who was in, what is it? Police Academy.
Police Academy, yes. Right. And you.
Yeah.
Let's see. The U.S. Department of Defense is the world's largest employer.
Really? Yeah. That's disappointing.
It's terrible. And U.S. military bases outside of America will not accept pennies as currency because it's too expensive to ship them back here.
Why would they ship them back?
Why not? I mean, it's like if the base has to... change their money.
Why do they have to ship the money back to change it? Can't they just go to the local bank? No?
Well, when you're taking over a country.
True. I know you can't just waltz in to Mosul and be like, hey, do you guys, I wrap these.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, right. Don't have the little TD Bank.
Yeah, they don't have. Do you guys have Coinstar or no?
Yes. In 1949, U.S. private first class, known to the payroll department as an E3, took home a monthly check of $99.55 in basic pay.
When was this?
This is in 1949.
Okay.
So a little less than $100 a month.
Wow. I wonder what it is now. Yeah. I know it's not a lot.
I don't know.
It's not enough for me to be out there. I'll tell you that right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. So we had reported in the past on the robot bees as a part of the robot apocalypse.
Yeah.
So there's confirmation out there that Walmart has a patent on the robo bee, as they call it. But not to be outdone.
Why did they?
NASA has a plan to put robot bees on Mars. I feel like they were like, we got to do one better.
Good.
What are we going to do? Walmart's doing bees here. We're doing it on Mars. We're going to do it on Mars. They can't do that. NASA has two teams of researchers. That sounds like light. Working on a design for a robotic bee that can fly on Mars. I hope that the robotic bee gets there to me and just flies off.
I hope
and
so.
And never comes back. The space agency announced a project on March 30th. It's in its early stages, but the idea is to replace the modern rovers, which are slow, bulky, and very expensive, with swarms. Now, think about this as I'm reading it. See if you think anything might go wrong here.
Not at all.
Right? With swarms of sensor-studded, fast-moving microbots that can cover much more ground at a relatively low cost. I'm hoping they find something that looks like a flower and they just do what bees used to do.
Yeah.
And try to make honey of some kind. And the name of the bee is called the Mars bee.
The Mars bee.
It's one word, Mars bee.
That sounds cute.
They're little bots. They are flapping wing flyers the size of a bumblebee, and the wings are cicada size. Mm-hmm. You know, easy measurements for all of us to imagine.
Right.
So the largest bumblebee, the actual bumblebee, like the real bees from nature, they're 1.6 inches long. I didn't know that a bumblebee mm-hmm. could be that big. The bumblebees where I'm from are, well, the few that are left that you can mm-hmm. find, they're not that big. An inch, 1.5 inches, basically. But now American bumblebees are a quarter of the size. Okay. And then they have the cicada wings. So they think that the bee is going to work on Mars mm-hmm. because Mars low gravity is 1/3 the gravitational pull of Earth. So that's going to give the Mars bee the advantage despite having a thin atmosphere, which I don't think they mind.
Yeah. I don't think they care.
The Guardian reported that these bees, quote unquote, will not only map the Martian terrain, but also collect samples of the air and hopes of finding methane gas and a possible sign of life. If there is life there and we sent these bees, I don't want to know what's going to get sent back.
We're going to get what we deserve going off onto these other planets and messing around.
This just sounds like really bad idea.
Yeah, not to be like some kind of,
a Luddite.
Yeah, but still, we have to just have a little more thought.
Yeah. Some of these things seem like, I would love to see, and I'm sure NASA does this kind of stuff. I would like to see what the worst case scenarios are for these bees. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of them is probably like all life on Earth is ended.
Yeah.
So Mars bees is a thing. They're going to send bees to Mars. And the bees are going to come back with air and a map of Mars.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Couldn't they have come up with something else? Can you imagine?
I like
Gentlemen,
him.
We call this Project Mars Bees. And then just snickers in the room like, really?
Look,
Mars Bees?
Look, I think everybody's just about had it with everything and nobody cares anymore.
Do you think this was phoned in?
Probably.
The day before, they're like, just throw it on the PowerPoint, Mars Bees. Yeah. I don't care.
Think of a term. Mars Bees.
Mars Bees. A word for Sharknado. Sure.
Yeah, right.
And Hot Tub Time Machine, Mars Bees. I keep thinking of James Marsden.
Yeah.
As a bee. That's where I go with that. All right, what do you have?
Well, I want it back here on Earth. You know, Walden Pond.
Yes, on Walden Pond. Yeah.
The famed Walden Pond, which inspired Henry David Thoreau.
What is it? Is it empty or polluted?
It's being killed by urine.
Huh?
Yes.
It sounds personal.
So this, whoever wrote this, I'm going to read it and just say, all right.
Fine, yeah.
If Henry David Thoreau were alive today, he might retitle his most famous work, On Golden Pond.
Ew.
And he would be pissed.
Oh!
All right.
Really?
That's because Walden Pond, which was a once pristine jewel that inspired the naturalist and philosopher in the 1800s.
Who's peeing in it?
Has been befouled by generations of swimmers urinating in the water.
Are you kidding me?
So much so that it's wrecking the ecosystem and devastating the fish population of the pond some 25 miles west of Boston that Thoreau immortalized in his Walden.
How small is this pond that, like...
How many people are pissing in it? That's the question.
What the hell? Why?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a pond being destroyed by urine before?
No. Destroyed by urine. The Walden Pond.
Yeah.
Experience. That is crazy. What is wrong with us? Maybe we just don't deserve to have
They've
a pond.
They've stopped people from going in, but it has not returned to its pre-impact condition.
I bet you people are standing near and trying to piss from the sidelines. Dirty motherfuckers. That's disgusting. Why would you pee? Like, and so people are swimming in this sea of urine?
Yeah, and they're going in there. So despite some efforts to clean it up, the water is nowhere near as pure as when Thoreau dipped his toes in the drink while camping in the cabin.
How could you clean it of the urine? Like, what is going on?
They report a surge in the pond's levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, which is found in human waste.
Mm-hmm.
That, in turn, feeds the algae that spreads across the water and blocks the rays of sun at which the fish need to survive.
Okay, so the algae likes a piss.
Yeah, but it's killing the fish.
Good Lord.
And it's just covered with algae.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, come on, give the fish a break. They don't have an option here.
I know.
They can't just move house.
More than half of the summer phosphorus budget of the lake may now be attributed to urine released by swimmers.
Oh, my goodness. Are they putting up signs?
What do scientists recommend?
Stop peeing in the lake.
Kicking people out of the pond.
Yes. Yeah. Cordon off the pond. Are there porta potties nearby? Yeah. Like,
what the?
That's crazy.
And speaking, I tagged this out at the end because moving along, but along this similar vein,
mm-hmm.
The Detroit Zoo is offering visitors buckets of Detroit Zoo poo. Yeah. Free buckets of 5-pound animal manure dubbed Detroit Zoo poo will be handed out.
Detroit Zoo poo is free.
Yeah, as part of the zoo's Green Fest celebration. It precedes the Earth Day celebration.
I feel like, okay.
But there's going to be 1,000 buckets available
to
the first 1,000 visitors.
Is this a hoax?
No.
Wow.
No, okay. It's about converting animal manure and other organic waste into a methane-rich gas to help the zoo's animal hospital. So it's like kind of just like kind of a...
Thank God they're nowhere near Walden Pond because we know where it'd end up.
Yeah, right.
Like, wow. Yeah,
but it's like nasty.
That's great.
You can't hand out poo.
They're doing it. All right. They're doing it and doing it and doing it well, apparently. So this is something I thought would be interesting. Greg actually found this. A luxury space hotel is going to open up in 2021.
Where?
In space.
Like flying around?
Space hotel is not, it's not like a euphemism or like a brand name. It's actually going to be in space. It says well-heeled tourists will have a new orbital destination 4 years from now if a company's plans come to fruition. I will put money on the fact that this company disappears in the thin air with everyone's money within the next 18 months.
Yeah.
And I would applaud them while they're doing it. This is a startup called Orion Span. and it's going to open up a hotel called Aurora Station. Mm-hmm. I think they're just Mars Bees, whatever.
Yeah.
In 2021, and they're going to start taking guests in 2022. We are launching the first ever affordable luxury space hotel. Ew. These are four words I don't want to hear. Affordable luxury. Please spare no expense if I'm going to be in outer space.
Yeah.
Like, don't skimp on anything.
No, we don't want to hear the word affordable.
I don't want to hear affordable. Yeah. Said Orion Span founder and CEO Frank Bunger, who unveiled the idea today at the Space 2.0 Summit in San Jose. Affordable is a relative term. So you can stay aboard the station for 12 days. It's $9.5 million mm-hmm. starting. So those are basic rooms. $9.5 million.
Okay.
Quite a bit less than orbital tourists have paid in the past. I didn't know there were any. And from 2001 to 2009, seven private citizens, unlike the public citizens that you have speaking to you here today.
Right.
Seven private citizens took a total of 8 trips to the International Space Station and paid $20 million to $40 million each. Think of how that money could be used.
I know. That's why I'm like, I'm shame on all of them. Shame.
It's
shame,
terrible.
Shame.
All right. So the private missions were brokered by Virginia-based company Space Adventures, and some Russian spacecraft and rocket company. So there's innovation in the architecture to make it more modular and more simple to use. So we don't have to have spacewalks.
Okay.
So I'm like, did you have to have them before? Are people demanding spacewalks now? In the private luxury affordable space hotel zone. The hotel itself looks tiny. It looks like a trailer in space. It's mm-hmm. very, very, very small. So it's going to be, the Aurora Station is going to be the size of a large private jet cabin, 43 feet by 14 feet. That's it.
Wow.
That's all you're going to get in outer space.
What do people think that they're going to do with their experience? Are they going to write a book about it? Are they going to just
want anyone to know who they are, because if people find out you're spending $9.5 million on something like this, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Also, they'll know you're out of town. And they might come by your place. Right. So the private outpost will have an altitude of 200 miles, which is lower than the space station, which is 250 miles above Earth. And right now it's unclear how they're going to get out there. Mm-hmm. So they haven't figured out the transportation piece. I guess maybe we should do our own startup.
Yeah.
And we ferry people back and forth, mm-hmm. right, from Earth to space. Give us money now.
Yeah.
We'll set it up for you.
Yeah.
Book with us. We're the only people that are going there. Hey, you know it.
Yeah. And no refunds.
No refunds.
And we can cancel at any time.
Of course. Aurora Station will accommodate 4 guests and 2 crew members. Mm-hmm. That's it. So 4 people at a time, and then 2 crew members are up there. I don't like that ratio. I feel like there should be 4 crew members and 2 guests. the personnel will be former astronauts. So that's what they're doing now.
Oh God. They're now Bellman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they understand that they're demoted a little bit. You're going to be bringing people a glass of wine with a piece of foil over top of it or whatever is in space.
Teaching people how to pee in a suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of the guests will probably be private space tourists, but then in the future, they're hoping to host government space agencies. I feel like NASA has this covered.
You know why people want to go to space? To have sex in space and then go back and be like, I had sex in space.
I wonder what the kids will be like, though.
Yeah.
So there are long-term vision is to sell actual space on these new modules. So timeshares, basically. This is what we're doing with technology? Come on. We put a trailer park in space? Let's not get fancy about it. That's what this is. It is a trailer park in space. You know what? At first, everything, it's going to be for the wealthy. And it's going to be all fancy. Then by the end, it's going to be like a fucking Motel 6.
Right.
It's not going to be 200 miles up. It's going to be 100 miles up.
People going for a weekend.
Yeah.
Binge.
And it's a BYO.
Yeah. Oh.
There's no staff. Yeah. You just go up there.
Figure it out.
There's not an astronaut, but there's just a really tired pilot. And a person who's experienced zero gravity once, they went to Las Vegas and they flew around in the thing. It was fine. But yes, so it's if you have $80,000, you can put down a fully refundable deposit. Good luck finding these guys.
Yeah.
When you want your deposit back.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is, so what's with the deposit?
Why do you need a deposit now?
Yeah, why do you need a deposit now?
Yeah.
You don't have this thing worked out?
Exactly. Right.
Like, what's the deposit for? You get 9.5. And also,
what, is there going to be a big rush in 2022?
But if there is, then you auction it off, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a set price. Like, are these guys going to be on, like, booking.com? You're going like, oh, God damn it. $8 million? $8 million for, so it's going to be 9.5 million, and yet they're only taking 80,000 down? That doesn't sound right.
I think this is our business model for our monthly
yes,
box.
Yes, for our box. We take huge deposits for, what should we call it? What could be in the box? Surprise box.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise box. I like it. All What's right. going to be inside? Surprises.
Yeah, surprises. You don't know.
All right. What do you have? We don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So the British Prime Minister, Theresa May.
Okay. Or as they call her, Theresa Maybe. Apparently she's not well liked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was giving a speech. And then there was she was unveiling a new slogan. And then as she was talking, like a couple letters fell off.
Oh.
And people just started snickering. But it reminds me of things that would happen to you as a kid and you're doing a presentation and things are just going south.
Yeah. Well, there's Britain's Labour Party leader, Jeremy Corbyn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's an interesting character.
Well, the two clashed during a weekly question and answer session in the House of Commons, where Corbyn attacked May for meeting with the Crown Prince Mohammed of Saudi Arabia.
Have you ever seen these before? So they sit across from each other and they basically are like, the gentleman from Southwark will now be heard. And the person gets up and proceeds to hurl invective.
Yeah.
While the people behind him are like, yeah, that's right. Ooh. I like it. I wish we did it.
Yes. So she met with him a day before the annual worldwide commemoration of the women's rights movement. So he said, tomorrow is International Women's Day, a chance to both celebrate how far we've come on equality for women, but also reflect on how far we still have to go, not just in a country, but around the world. So without missing a beat, May replied, well, first of all, I can thank the right honorable gentleman for telling me what that it is International Women's Day tomorrow. I think that's called mansplaining.
Wow. She got one in.
She got one in and everyone laughed and she wasn't done and she started tweeting him. She tweeted him the Oxford English Dictionary definition of the word.
Mansplain. I'd like to get on her side, but she's awful.
Yeah, well.
Like, she's not very good and he's a little loony too.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
She did that and everyone was like, good one.
Yeah, zing. I wonder what's going on. It seems like Canada and France are right now like the last cool leaders standing. Like no one has a really cool leader on it. Although Costa Rica just elected a guy who I think was a criminal defense attorney and is very liberal and is pro gay rights. And then their VP is an Afro-Latina and she's the first Afro-Latina to hold such high office in Latin or South America, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
So some people are moving in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, right. And,
right? They're trying.
And, well, New York City is, there's going to be a new gubernatorial race coming up. And so we've got Cynthia Nixon.
Cynthia Nixon is running. Yeah. And now Cuomo is trying to appear like he cares about New York City.
Yeah. Good luck.
He's tweeting. He put something out today that he was like, I am a New Yorker. I am black. I am gay. I am an immigrant. I am this. It's like, are running scared is what you are. Go back to Albany.
Because I think everybody is kind of behind her.
Yes.
everybody.
Well, and because they're such a, for those of you may not know, New York City has such a large population that if you could just get everyone in New York to get behind a candidate, that candidate can win.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's so few people living outside. And, you know, people don't vote.
Yeah.
So I think it's really about getting your people out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to getting more people than the other guys, like just getting people out,
yeah.
right? Because no one votes. Cuomo is interesting. I don't know much about him. I do know that his dad had the job. So just based on that, I'm like, whatever, dude.
All the Cuomos just getting jobs.
Yeah, like, just getting jobs.
Whatever. The other one on the news.
Yeah.
On ABC somewhere. Whatever.
So I guess the political dynasties are, you know.
Are crumbling before us.
Are crumbling right before us.
Yes. Oh, one more thing.
Like Columbo.
Wanted to talk just really quickly about the band LMI.
Okay.
Several months ago, I guess we went to go see our favorites.
Yeah, Cinema. Who give us the music for our show, intro and the outro.
So we enjoyed their performance. There were other bands playing. One was called LMI, who we enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
And so we said, let's support them too and buy some t-shirts.
Yeah. And their t-shirts are awesome.
The t-shirts are really awesome. Yeah. So I looked at mine, and mine had an image of this man in a boat, sailing rough seas. And his head was half open, and the word "Ohm" was coming out, and these things were jumping out of the water.
That's different than mine. Has an alien, who was pimping, like hanging out, just having a good time, sitting in a throne.
Yeah, but these little things were jumping out of the water, and I didn't know what they were. They looked like either squid or aliens. I don't know what it was.
Well, what are they?
Well, I emailed LMI, and I was like, "What are these?"
emailed LMI.
And I got a nice email back from them, and they're like, we don't know. We had an artist that designs our shirts, and that's like, these are creatures that he uses in a lot of his work.
That's interesting.
And here is the artist, and you can
you can ask him.
See more there.
Lady.
You know? But LMI was a really great
band. Yeah, they're an awesome band.
Yeah, if you like cinema or that genre, check out LMI.
Yeah, and I'll try to find a link to put up in the show notes so you can find them.
That's cool.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.